Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So the Bloomberg era in New York City was marked by massive construction until the housing bubble burst in 2008. But as 2011 ended, the national housing news was modestly positive for both new housing starts and existing home sales. Let's spend a few minutes as we start a new year looking at what might be next for New York City's development and housing markets. Are we a city of builders again? For this, I am joined by Amanda Fung, Crane's New York Business real estate reporter, and Stephen Kligerman, president of Halsted Property Development Marketing. Amanda, welcome back. And Stephen, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Hi.
And listeners, we can hear from you for the next few minutes. What are your real estate market indicators? If you're selling your house or apartment, are you seeing more potential buyers? 212-433-WNYC. Are you still underwater with your mortgage? If you're buying, are you looking at new developments or existing units? 212-433-9692, or post a comment on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Stephen, your forecast states that low interest rates and increasing rents have drawn Wall Streeters to choose real estate as a place to invest their money. How true is that?
Well, Brian, I think it's very true. What we've seen over the last 9 to 10 months is a tremendous demand for real estate, particularly from the financial sector. And we're seeing people wanting to diversify their portfolios. So people who in the past had been investing back into their primary business are now looking to diversify and you know, limit their risk a little bit.
Isn't that what got us into trouble in the first place, using real estate as a way to make money after the stock market started to go slowly after the turn of the century in 2000? There was the tech bubble bursting, the Arthur Andersen problems, all that stuff that was depressing the stock market. And so investment money started to flow inordinately into real estate. Isn't that what got us into trouble in the first place?
Well, I think what we're looking at now is more of a shelter than an investment. It's more of a safe haven versus looking for double-digit growth every year. People are really looking for to make their equity safe. In addition, the difference between now and then is that lending policies have changed a lot. So those same people who were putting down very little, 5%, 0% down, are now putting down 20, 30% into the property. So the chance of them getting underwater is much more difficult than it was in the past.
Are many of these investors from overseas, and are they investing largely in commercial as opposed to residential real estate?
We've seen a lot of overseas investors recently, particularly from the Asian markets and the South American markets. We have begun to see European investors dip into the marketplace as the European economies start to falter. But for the majority, these are, again, people who are looking for really more of a safe haven. I mean, they're happy to break even as far as rent versus outlay, as far, you know, as long as they don't necessarily have to worry about a market going up and down every day.
It's better than investing in Italian sovereign debt at the moment.
I would think so.
So Amanda Fung, last month, the Wall Street Journal reported that fourth quarter condominium sales in Manhattan were down from the previous year, but you reported earlier in December that the market for luxury housing in Manhattan is tight. So what's the relationship between sales of condos, luxury condos, and co-ops? If one is doing poorly, do the others not necessarily follow suit?
Well, basically, in terms of what we're seeing with the luxury market, we're just seeing an influx of what Stephen had just pointed out, a lot of foreign buyers looking to, you know, invest in a stable asset, which in this case is the 10 million and up apartment, luxury apartment, either on Park Avenue or on the high end. In terms of what's going on with condo sales in general, we are not looking at the luxury market. I mean, that is more of a reflection of the lending environment and how lenders have tighter guidelines. Therefore, you're not seeing, you know, folks who cannot afford to put down a 20% deposit on an apartment getting loans. So you're not seeing too much activity with general condo sales.
And what about construction? I started this by saying the Bloomberg era will go down as an era of construction, an era of building. Remember when we, you know, before the crash in 2008, we used to talk about Bloomberg and his deputy mayor, Dan Doctoroff, as being sort of the new Robert Moses of the 21st century. Is that starting to come back at all? That's certainly something that Bloomberg, I think, wants to be part of his legacy, a tremendous amount of residential construction to bring housing costs down, supply and demand to house what he expects to be another million New Yorkers by the year 2030, to build infrastructure, to build business infrastructure for the future of the city. But has it been basically down to nothing since 2008?
It has. Basically, we saw a slowdown in construction activity, but you're starting to see the cranes come back out. You're starting to hear about some of these stalled either condo projects, either, you know, revive as rentals. So you're seeing a lot of these buildings come back to life. The problem is, you know, construction probably started last year a little bit, and you're starting to see the construction financing come back. But a lot of these apartments won't come back online until late this year or 2013 or further down the road.
And Stephen from Halsted, your forecast states that low interest rates and last month, the real estate news site, The Real Deal, reported that owners of a new 10-story, 9-unit building on 96th Street between Broadway and Amsterdam tried to sell the building as individual condos but were unsuccessful and are now trying to sell it as an entire building. Your company, Halsted Property Development Marketing, was in charge of the effort to sell the individual condos. Is this a real estate trend right now that it's harder to sell those individual units?
No, in general, it's actually very reasonably easy to sell those individual units. In the case of that particular building, I think it was the wrong time for that building. The units were priced about $200,000 more than the market would bear at the time for the location. 96th Street's a wonderful block, but that stretch between Broadway and Amsterdam is a little bit challenged as far as the neighboring buildings right now, and buyers just were not ready to make that leap. The developer chose to go a rental platform instead, but was not attaining the rents that he wanted to, so just decided that he would sell the investment and move on to another one.
And does a low rate of condo sales often lead to more whole buildings being sold as investments, or was that, again, an anomaly?
Typically not. What we saw in the fourth quarter actually was a tremendous amount of contracts signed, but that doesn't reflect in the public reports that you see. So when we looked at our data, when that report came out, we looked and said, okay, what happened here? And what we noticed just with our own buildings is we had over 120 units that had not closed in the fourth quarter due to delays in obtaining a CO or a TCO from the building department, or, you know, slight delays because of construction delays. So had those units closed, the numbers would have looked much, much different. I think you're going to see tremendous sales in the first quarter of 2012 because of that.
We keep hearing, though, that Wall Street itself is having problems. For all the talk about the 1% and Occupy and everything else, there are going to be more layoffs on Wall Street. There are going to be smaller bonuses. The sector is shrinking. And that is the sector that has driven the boom in housing prices in New York over the last 10, 15 years. So why wouldn't that depress things considerably?
Well, you mentioned earlier supply and demand. Because construction has been so low for the last three and a half years, the demand has been building up where the supply has not. So we probably have, as Amanda alluded to earlier, about 2 years before we start to see any type of equilibrium again between supply and demand. Because of that and low interest rates, we've actually seen appreciation in pricing. With the layoffs that are projected on Wall Street, we'll have some effect, but Bloomberg has been very good at bringing new industry into the city as well. I mean, Google just supplied, I don't know how many hundreds of jobs. There are other industries coming into the city as well. We have 8 million square feet about to be occupied at the World Trade Center site. So between those different industries coming in, I think that the slack will be picked up.
Let's take a phone call from Raul in Prospect Heights. You're on WNYC. Hi, Raul.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, there's an issue that's actually quite hot in some parts of the city, like in southern Brooklyn, of the zoning being overridden in cases by the Bureau of Standards and Appeals. And basically you have large lots, you know, some people call them McMansions, going up, and there's actually a lot of anger about that, but, you know, shows that there's a lot of market. It also shows that this is something that seems to be consistent with Bloomberg's approach of kind of allowing larger lot of construction in places that haven't been.
Well, thank you. So, Amanda, you cover the non-Manhattan real estate story for Cranes. Want to react to Raul and tell us how else you see things going right now compared to what Stephen was describing with respect to Manhattan?
Right. So what's happening now in the boroughs is we're seeing in the boroughs there were a lot of sites that were actually hit harder than what's happening in Manhattan in terms of, you know, projects not getting started because of the lack of financing or problems that happened in the midst of projects going up. What we're seeing now is what's happening in terms of the economy and things bouncing back and projects going back online. So, you know, you're going to start seeing some of these, I guess, as the caller, McMansions coming back up online in the boroughs.
But is there going to be less of a taste for McMansions, if you want to call them that, that is, you know, a lot of square footage for people to live in, which, of course, increases the price, increases the maintenance costs. If wages in general are kind of depressed compared to before the bubble burst, and people are a little more wary about homes as an investment, is that not going to be reflected in slightly smaller living spaces on average overall?
I think it sort of already has been reflected. A lot of these planned, you know, huge condo or projects in the boroughs have already been converted to smaller rental apartments, which are moving fairly quickly in certain neighborhoods of Brooklyn.
And the mayor is still working toward his goal of 165,000 new units of affordable housing by 2014.
Yes.
Are they going to make it before the Bloomberg administration expires?
It appears so. I mean, I believe they're, you know, very close and on target to their goals and numbers by the end of 2014.
Stephen, you advise buyers to buy before they confront competition from pre-construction sales. Is there a danger that pre-construction sales may artificially inflate the market? We've got about a minute left. These are sales of homes that don't yet exist.
They could potentially artificially inflate the perception of the marketplace. They would not artificially inflate the public numbers because they wouldn't be reflected in closing prices.
Foreclosure, Amanda, still a big problem in New York, or are we starting to work through that so-called inventory now?
Still a problem, just because it's a judicial state. You know, the numbers aren't really reflecting what's going on out there. A lot of things are held up in court, so we'll probably see a lot of the foreclosure numbers continue to increase over time as things work through the banks.
Amanda Fung, Cranes New York Business Real Estate Reporter, Stephen Kligerman, President of Halsted Property Development Marketing. Thank you both so much for coming on. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.